Chell Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
What is Earth's biomass?
Good question. This might come across as just this geeky question, like, why would anybody care? And I can't explain why I care, but I think it's really interesting. And I think I got thinking about it because I'm already starting to think, even though we're just not quite 2 weeks into September, I'm already thinking about the fall projects at home. And one of our big tasks before this autumn season ends is to gather up leaves from our driveway and everywhere else that we can for our compost pile. So mm-hmm. I'm already projecting about where am I going to fit in the time, you know, and how's that all going to work to gather the biomass for the compost pile. I think that's why I got thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me that earlier in the year, I happened on this information about this study that was reported in the Proceedings of the American Academy of Science, I think it was. And it was about this group of quantitative biologists who had gone looking for the amount, the weight of Earth's biomass.
And so
Earth. Yeah, the biomass. So that's all
everything.
The living things, all the biologically living things on Earth, okay?
So they have to be living?
Like? Yeah, right. Anything that has lived.
Okay,
you know,
there we
so,
go.
So, you know, living things or previously living things, but not things buried in the Earth or that kind of thing. So what a thing to try to do, right? And they weren't going out and, you know, measuring every individual thing. They were combing through the scientific literature for work that people have done on all the different living things we're aware of anyway, and to work on coming up with this. And they've spent like 3 years working on this. They're trying to answer a different question ultimately, but they had to go through this to get there. And so they published this information because it had some surprises in it.
Okay.
I think, in part. Of course, if we're going to measure anything, whether we're scientists or cooks at home, we have to figure out, well, what is the appropriate measure, right? And what are we going to measure? In the case of measuring biomass, there are a variety of different ways to do it. You might measure the total weight of something. So let's say we wanted to know the biomass of the trout fishery of Lake Superior, okay? Well, we could just measure everybody's trout that they brought in, what the fishery brought in, and that would be the biomass, okay? And we could express that in tons or kilotons or whatever we wanted to use. But that would be a pretty hard thing to do for all life on Earth when you're talking everything from bacteria and fungi to plankton to elephants to me. And then when you think about all the different forms of life and how physiologically different they are, you have to think, well, wow, water is a big part of some things, most things, and an individual thing may have more or less water at different times of the day, at different times of the year. Think of our trees, for instance, or any of our plants here. They're not much water in them in the winter, but there's a whole lot in the summer.
Yeah.
So they had to come up with some element of life to measure that would be more consistent across all forms of life. And so a good choice is carbon, because carbon is a really important part of every living organism on Earth, no matter where it lives or how it lives. So carbon is what they measured. So the big number, which I don't even know how to talk about a number like this, 550 gigatons is how much the carbon biomass of Earth is estimated to be. I'll just say this, not because it really means anything, but a gigaton is a billion tons. We're talking about a lot.
Yes.
So it's a really big number that I couldn't even come up with a really good idea about, well, what to compare it to. I mean,
can't wrap my head around it.
Way too big.
Yeah.
So we can look at it in a different way. We've got this mass quantity of biomass. They looked at it then by groups of living things. Okay. So we have plants, we have animals, we have arthropods, so that would be insects and spiders and things like that. So they broke it down, and that was where some of this fun information appeared. A common perception is that the group of living things that have the most, you know, the most species, the most individuals, whatever, that they're going to be the heaviest, right? Yeah. They're going to have the most carbon. Yeah. Turns out that it's not the case.
Because I guessed insects, and that's not right.
It's not right. The insects, even if we took them as part of that bigger group, the arthropods, they are not the heaviest.
Okay.
Turns out plants are the heavyweights. They are 80%. You know, and I think maybe that's surprising to people because, or me too, because I don't right away think, oh, plants. Yeah, that includes plankton in the oceans.
Okay, I was wondering.
And plankton in Lake Superior. But of course, there's lots of zooplankton, which would go in the animal side. But
right.
So, you know, if you think of all the plant life, not just the ones that, you know, we see and regularly interact with. They're pretty much everywhere. Not everywhere, but pretty much. They get the heavyweight title, 80%.
Right.
Some other interesting looks, though. So you might think, well, arthropods might be, you know, right up there second. Bacteria. Who'd have thunk? Bacteria. Let's see. They were at 13% of the Earth's biomass.
Wow.
The carbon biomass.
Yeah. We're getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
insignificance.
Just wait. Yeah.
Okay.
Fungi, 2%.
Oh, my gosh.
2% of the whole Earth's
biomass. So now we've only got 5% left for the rest of us.
So animals, all animals,
yeah.
Every kind of
us.
Animals, not including, yes, not our, and half of these are arthropods, okay, because they're in with the animals too, right? Animals all together, 0.3%.
No way.
Yeah. 0.3. Yeah, and arthropods are half of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So, yeah, they're a big part of the animal portion, but the animal portion is teeny. And then if we want to look at just us, Homo sapien, we're talking about 0.01%.
I kind of feel okay about that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's on a par with termites and krill. Which I kind of like.
I do too.
Yeah. However, these folks in their report point out that despite our tiny contribution in this biomass sphere, we have made some significant changes to the overall picture. So, for instance, our domesticated animals, livestock and so on, are 20-fold greater than all the other wild animals combined. In biomass, there's so many more of them is really what it amounts to than what is out there in the wild that it's really shifted that biomass of animals into that category from the wild to the domesticated. We and our animals of all kinds that we tend for as livestock or pets or all of those things and fowl, you know, chickens, turkeys, all that we raise as agricultural products are a huge change on Earth in terms of biomass since human cultures move towards an agrarian lifestyle and a husbandry lifestyle. So, sometimes people call about that since the beginning of civilization. I'm not sure that's the best term, but that's how it's often referred to. Mm. So that's a pretty significant change.
It is.
In just a teeny time frame of our planet's life so far.
Yeah.
So when I'm raking leaves this year, I'm going to be thinking about my raking up some of that 80% of Earth's biomass as I rake those plant leaves.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thank you so much for helping us understand Earth's biomass.
You're welcome.